And welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cunaberti. Today's edition number 309, entitled Market Disconnect. Before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. If I mention any indices today, remember that indices are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Investing involves a risk, and you can lose money. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. But hopefully not. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Cambridge, its staff, members, or underwriters. And remember, Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, it matters money. Affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet. And in some way or another, controls the very way we live our life. This show is a condensed version. And used to prior to COVID be on at noon, first and third Thursdays. We'll return to that schedule. But right now that spot is preempted by Governor Newsom and his updates. So we're doing shortened versions. This is a 30-minute version. We air this usually in the evenings on a particular day of the week, usually Thursday, but that changes. Okay, so boy, it just continues to go on, doesn't it? With the Dow, as far as the Dow is concerned, the COVID thing is just beyond comprehension, of course. But the Dow screeching off its COVID lows of 18,531, somewhere around there on March 23rd, it now sits in the mid-25,000s. Falling from an all-time high of 29,551, unbelievably, we hit that on February 12th. What was that, 4 months ago? Almost 11,000 points worth of correction from the all-time high to the COVID low comprises a 37% hammering of the Dow. The Dow's rise is seemingly in defiance of economic fundamentals. Investors have seldom seen such volatility considering the magnitude of the wild swings. It's true, we've never seen the market bounce around like this. The 2008 and 9 bank crisis was a close second in terms of ferocity, followed by the 001 dot-com crash, which you all remember. But this one is definitely one for the record books. The Dow Jones, indeed, continues to baffle many investors and analysts and experts. It seems to have decoupled from the American economy. Off its March lows of the 18,000 level, which I previously mentioned, it stands pushing once again above the 26,000 mark. Its post COVID correction high, as I said, was 27,000, a little bit higher than that on June 8th. Now, technology shares have represented a good amount of the gains. So we're seeing the tech-heavy NASDAQ already at its all-time high. The tech-heavy NASDAQ has already blown through the high pre-COVID. So you heard that right. The NASDAQ is already higher than it was pre-COVID. Analysts and myself, I agree that we attribute the NASDAQ stunning move to a new high, despite what the economy's going through and Americans are going through, to the heavy makeup of many technology companies in the NASDAQ. Meanwhile, the unemployment level sits at around 50 million. And if you listen a couple shows back and approved by the regulators, I thought that unemployment would hit around 50 million. I think it's around 48 million. And I said about 25% of the small businesses in the United States would go under. We don't have any figures on that yet. That's going to take a lot longer to see what the eventual damage for that is. So now we have new economic shutdowns that are being threatened, some that are being implemented. And we have an increase in the COVID cases, as you know, as anybody on the planet that is anywhere near any sort of media knows that we're seeing increase. And we're also seeing that with these new COVID increase cases, the increase in cases, and at least in the United States, the special $600 a week bonus for unemployment. Remember, if you file for unemployment, you get a portion of what you made before, but they're also tacking on $600 a week in bonuses, and those end in July. So those extra $600 a week bonuses are ending in July. And then the increase in COVID cases. So many analysts are warning that this stunning ascent in the stock market, what we've seen, may be in jeopardy. And it is, you know, definitely something in the back of my mind as well. Big and small businesses alike are reeling from the shutdowns and being yo-yoed around. First they're shut down, then they're allowed to open, then they're reclosed. Some of these employees, I can't imagine how horrible that would be. You go off unemployment, then you're laid off again. Many of the businesses are forecasted by many, including me, to never return. I don't think that's even a question. The balance sheet damage to some of those small businesses is that bad. Making matters worse, the tension between our citizens, our brothers and sisters, is palatable. You can cut it with a knife. Racial issues, the mask debate, the very controversial upcoming presidential elections, and continuing economic equality is adding even more stress to all of us, and we are probably sitting wondering what else could possibly go wrong. The reasons for the recent surge of COVID is debated. I don't know if anybody is 100% sure why exactly it is resurging, but there are many theories, many of probably which are right. That is turning up the debate and the animosity between people, between our brothers and sisters. Some claim the mass gatherings of protest to protest the racial issues that we've seen. Some are blaming those, while others blame a premature opening of shutdown restrictions. We opened up too early. Some states opened up too early. There's the anti-maskers. Citizens are taking what seems to be a extreme polar opposite position of the mask, no mask debate. Many blaming the anti-maskers, the people that don't want to wear masks, that they're at fault for the recent spread, while the anti-maskers insist that not wearing them at all is an essential freedom, and forcing them to wear masks is against their basic rights. So there you go. I'm sure most of you stand on one side or the other. In the markets, gold, the Midas metal of the gods, is reacting by assaulting a multi-year high. That's right, gold is higher than it's been in 7 years since it really went up. Went to about 1,900, almost 2,000 an ounce. Now it's pushing 1,700 plus. Gold is often bought in terms of economic stress and political uncertainty. In other news, non-COVID related, if there is much of that, the Trump tax reforms. Okay, these are reduced taxes on various companies and individuals. And these reduction in taxes were originally thought that they would reduce charitable donations, because the tax laws were rewritten in certain portions that affected the ability to deduct those charitable contributions. So they were thought that charitable contributions would go down. Not so, says the Giving USA website in a report that they claimed Americans actually contributed a record $450 billion to charitable organizations last year. So there you go. I would say, way to go, America. Economic recovery forecasters run the gamut in their prognostications of just how long we're going to have to wait to see things return to some semblance of normalcy. Jim Rickard, someone who I respect and read often, he writes for the 5-Minute Forecaster. We'll give them a shout out there. He reports recent statistics bring the year 2023 into hopeful focus that we may get back to normal. That's a may. Should COVID stubbornly hang around longer than expected, these figures put the recovery well into 2025. Ouch. Day traders, giddy investors, meanwhile, are coming out of the woodwork to bid up the share prices of bankrupt companies. That's right. Some of the public companies have declared bankruptcy. And yes, when they do that, their shares still trade. You can still buy shares of a bankrupt company. And giddy investors, maybe even the day traders, are doing so. You can trade the bankrupt shares as the bankruptcy makes it through the court system. The day trader has also returned in healthy numbers, leaning not only into the bankrupt companies in search of quick profits, but buying up the mostly beaten down stocks from COVID. What are those stocks that were worstly affected, that were badly affected from COVID? Those would be things such as where people gather publicly. Obviously, the first one comes to mind is cruise lines, right? Locked on a cruise ship with a deadly virus. Not too appealing. The buffet does not look very appealing in the face of that reality. Airlines, restaurants, and hotel and motel chains also were badly beaten. Trading in stocks like that can usually yield fast profits and or portfolio implosions. So the portfolios of those trading those types of stocks, bankruptcy stocks, badly beaten up stocks in hope of getting a quick buck, can go back and forth between fast profits and portfolio explosions, should I say. Despite the market's historic and head-scratching record run, a record amount of cash sits in investor brokerage accounts, says Zach Sheet of the same publication, The Five-Minute Forecaster. He goes on to give his opinion that this is the reason all this cash in brokerage accounts, a record amount, is in cash. He believes the markets will run higher. Cash seeks a place to go, or better said, has a tendency to burn holes in investors' pockets if markets continue to run. I call that the greed DNA, twisting and turning inside one's body in anticipation of higher markets. All in all, we can say it's been quite a period for the markets, and indeed, most every person on the planet, as a result of the little bugger called COVID. Where we go here, and where we go from here, is anyone's guess. My name is Mark Cunaberti. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the 309th edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti on your community radio station. So, one of the things I'd wondered about was, you know, you want to find out some facts and usually go to Google and check it out. So I had to make some traveling trips. It was time. It's like, gotta travel. So I tried to Google up what it was like, and I couldn't really find any really good, you know, I could see recommendations, but I couldn't find any blogs of somebody that actually did it. I'm sure they're out there. I couldn't find any. So in preparation of a couple of trips I had to make this month, I did some research on what to expect. And again, I couldn't find much. So it was one of these instances where you got to do it yourself. So I made two trips in the last month and a half, and I found out a lot about traveling amidst COVID. So if you're planning to travel, especially far away, you might take a listen. My first trip took me to Newport Beach down in L.A., which, by the way, is in the middle of and surrounded by the most heavily infected counties. That fact from worldometers.info, which I find a great resource to find out COVID-related statistics, worldometers, one word, .info. So I thought, oh boy, what fun this would be, cornered on all sides by COVID, right? Orange County, San Bernardino, Riverside, San Diego, L.A. Did I miss a few? That's where I was going, right in the middle. So traffic to Sacramento International Airport's traffic to Sacramento International Airport was light. Indeed, traffic everywhere has been light. And everywhere I went on the Southern California trip, it was light, tolerable, especially considering LA traffic is usually nightmarish. We arrived at Sacramento Airport International, pulled right up to the drop-off. Right away, you could see there was only a few people dropping their folks off. No waiting and only a handful of cars. Dropped the wife and kids. I headed toward the economy lots, only to find both were closed. In fact, it would have been nice to know that I hadn't even thought of checking that. Figured the airport was open, the parking lot would be open. Nope, economy lots were closed. Had I known that, I would use the stay-and-fly hotels that offer free parking. You know, you go down there and you rent a room for one night for $100, and they give you a shuttle to the airport, and they keep your car in the hotel lot locked up for the week or whatever. So it saves a lot of money. I paid, I think, $200 to park for like 6 days. No worries. The day lot had plenty of spaces right in front of the terminal. I mean, I parked literally 30 feet from the crosswalk. It was $29 a day. That kind of took some of the joy out of the up-close and personal parking spot. The airport, almost empty. Very few people at the ticketing counters. In fact, We had a little difficulty finding an agent to check us in. Once we did check in, it was a breeze. The TSA security line was non-existent where we walked right up to the guy. Got screened immediately. There was only 100 or so travelers that inhabited the entire airport where there once were thousands. Most stores in the airport were empty, as in people, but they were open. Okay? So they were open. Very few waiting lines, if any. Masking was kind of half and half. You know, most people in the airport were wearing them, I could say. But some people were not. You didn't wait for anything. Coffee, nothing. Everything was easy to get. Plane was on time. Seating was prompt. About 40 people were on my plane that was built for over 100. Seating was open, but spacing was more than adequate between strangers. I sat with my family, so I sat next to her, but then they didn't seat anybody. They did seat somebody behind me and in front of me. But I did see people that were seated by themselves that had spaces on both sides, because there are a lot of seats available. I'm told now, as we go along, there's more people flying, so that might not be the case. The airlines are trying to pack what planes they have with a lot of people, because they've cut back on a lot of flights. All we got was bottled water and check mix. That's all we got during the flight. We arrived at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, and that airport is usually very, very busy. John Wayne Airport, Orange County. Baggage claim, no problem. This usually busy airport resembled what I called a moderately packed ghost town. The whole thing felt like something out of the Twilight Zone. It was indeed strange. Getting the rental car, now that was interesting. You go to the counters in the airport, they're all empty. All the airport rental cars counters were empty. There's no agents. I was like, what? So I did catch a sign. We'd reserved a car, but we walked around 15 minutes before we catch a sign that the agents were in the garage where the car was across. At the Orange County Airport, you go across the street and there's a garage there. So the agents were there, but there were only a few. They were combining offices. So Budget was combined with Avis, was combined with. So there was, you know, we had to wander around for a while to find anyone who would give us a car. It was even worse when we returned the car a few days later. We drove around John Wayne Airport three times, and we were caught in these one-way driveways with spikes in search of a live body. Returned the car. We couldn't find anybody. Saw a maintenance guy, and he said, oh, go around. Well, we went around three times, and he couldn't back up because they didn't want to pop the tires. So we eventually did find one person who was checking in cars for several companies, you know, with the little machine. They said, just park it and goodbye. It's like, okay, I trust you. So if you rent a car, be prepared to be diligent and don't panic. But leave some extra time. Trust me, you're going to be like, what the heck is this? Newport Beach, you know, we got there on a Monday. It was jammed. Looked like 4th of July weekend. But that slowed to a dull roar as we entered the weekday. But when we got there, it was sunny, people out, but water, you know, skateboarding and roller skating. And it was like, oh, man. Not many masks outside and a lot of people on the beach. But inside, pretty much all the employees and owners were taking advantage of the mask protection and using masks. Now, we did find a lot of little curio shops and little hot dog stands closed. So even though there were a lot of people there, there were places that were open, but there were places that were closed. And I attribute that either to the fact that they didn't want to risk infection. You know, some people are more scared than others. Or they would take advantage of the PPP loans and the liberal unemployment checks and the $600 a week bonus where they didn't want to come back. And if you own a small curio store, you may be busting your butt to make a grand in profit a month. Well, if you stay home, you pay a grand in rent and you're getting $4,000 or $5,000 in employment checks, you're making four times what you'd make if you kept the store open. So, like I said, about half the people outside wore masks, but inside the building, most people wore masks. All in all, I have to admit the trip was very odd. We got done what we had to get done and returned home. And after 10 days, nobody had ever gotten sick. We were, however, pretty careful down in L.A., knowing how many people were down there, surrounded us, that possibly may have had the virus. About 2 weeks later, I had to go to Nevada to the Reno Casino. And that was interesting. You know, the casinos have just kind of opened up. So we had to go, and so we went. And The casino that I stayed in was a very popular one. They said they were about 80% full. You know, the parking lot was full when I got there. I don't know about that. I found that casinos will always tell you they're 80% full, so you don't feel like you're at a loser. Nobody goes to casino. But again, traffic was light. But then when I hit Highway 80, as I approached Tahoe and Truckee, because Reno is past Tahoe and Truckee. But when I hit Highway 80, there were a lot of cars. I was going up the Thursday, July 2nd, where Friday most people had off because July 4th was Saturday. And there was a lot of people going to Truckee and Tahoe. Now, I didn't know whether they were going to Nevada or going to Tahoe or Truckee, but most of them turned off at Highway 267, which is off 80, and that goes into the Lake Tahoe area. I understand about 250,000 people went into Tahoe and Truckee. Now, I'm sure the businesses were very happy about that. But, of course, there was the other side of the coin where there are many people that were very unhappy about that, concern being that the Tahoe-Truckee area doesn't have a lot of hospital facilities there to take a massive COVID outbreak. And the figures in the county where I am, Nevada County, California, includes Truckee, and that's called Eastern County. And we have the majority of cases, at least last time I looked, in Eastern County, Truckee and Tahoe, which is probably because of the vacation aspect of that. And 250,000 people coming up from the Bay Area, especially when Sacramento and the Bay Area and Marin County are kind of in a shutdown, they're like, let's get out of here and go to a place that's open. So I'm not quite sure that the Tahoe Truckee people are very happy about that, but about 250,000 people from what I read went into the Tahoe Truckee area to kayak and sailboard or whatever they do there. So once we got past Tahoe and Truckee, traffic was light. And we got into Reno and the hotel parking lot. We got in mid-afternoon on July 2nd, Thursday, coming up on the three-day weekend, of course. A lot of people parked. Checking in was kind of okay. Going into the casino, they had a thermal camera, or so the sign claimed. I saw the camera. I didn't know what they would do. There was nobody there to stop us. But apparently the thermal camera would take your temperature going under it, and something would happen, I guess, if it alarmed. I don't know. My temperature was fine, so whatever. In the casino, I did notice in this casino they had plastic plexiglass partitions between every machine. Now, we did visit another casino, and they did not. So, really is casino dependent. I'm kind of thinking that the casinos say they're doing what they're doing, but maybe a year from now we'll find out maybe they weren't doing all that they were supposed to be doing. I did not see, honestly, even though this casino had a lot of plexiglass between the machines, I did not see really anybody in the casino gambling area wiping anything down. Now, they said there were a lot of people running around, and I didn't really stay in that area very long, but I didn't see it. I did sit at a bar for a while and play a poker machine, and somebody did come by once and wipe it, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. The pool at this casino, they had reduced the capacity, so you had to get a number to get in, kind of like. If you went in the morning, you could get in, but if you went in the afternoon, I went at 11. And that wasn't until 4 hours till they called me at 3. So I suppose a lot of people found that out and got there early in the morning. The employees are told me that during the week that you could get in, but they expected the weekend to be very full, and it was going to be a long wait to get into the pool, and it was. Masks. Most people in the casino did wear masks. I can say that. All the employees did. But there were people in the casino that were not. So I can say comfortably they were not enforcing it, pretty much. But I would probably say 80-90% wore masks. They had signs everywhere, you know, saying you got to have a mask to be inside in a public area. Restaurants, because they're all reduced down to half capacity, they're pretty busy. So you either had to get to the restaurant early or maybe go off-site, and that was a little bit better. The rest of the trip was rather uneventful, but, you know, they charged us a resort fee, but they didn't have maid service because of COVID. You had to call. So we called on Friday, and then they informed us that there was no maid service the rest of the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, no matter if you called or not. You could get towels or coffee, but they weren't going to come in your room. I said, what am I paying a $30 resort fee for? So, you know, what do we pay the resort fee for? A pillow? So, due to the fact that the pool was reduced, you know, you couldn't get in, you had to wait. The restaurants, you couldn't get in, you had to wait. You couldn't get any maid service. I mean, it kind of got to the point where you were saying, why am I here? Some of the bowling alleys up there were open, but a lot of the stores, the retail stores were open, but a lot of the entertainment places were closed. The movie theater, as far as I recall, in the casino only had two showings, and they were like 6 and 7 o'clock. And they were showing old movies. If you ever notice, you go to the movie theaters, they're not showing new blockbusters. They're showing like Raiders of the Lost Ark and these old movies that have been around a long time. We actually went to a movie theater here in Nevada County, saw the Avengers, and there was only us and two guys in the back of the whole theater. That was it. So they're running old theories, you know, Ghostbusters and E.T. But if you go to a movie theater, at least when I went a couple of weeks ago, you're going to be the only people in there. Really, without those other two teenagers in the back, it was just us. So that was kind of cool, kind of, in a way. So once, you know, you pay the resort fee and you can't get into the restaurant and you can't get into the pool area and you, a lot of stuff's closed down, you can't go see a movie, and I've got kids. The bowling alley of one casino was open, so that was possible. And I asked them, how do you clean the bowling balls? And do you squirt cleaner down into the holes, right? Because you put your fingers in the holes. They said, yeah, we do. So, you know, can't really guarantee about anything, but there were a lot of people there from all over. There were a lot of Asians, a lot of Middle Eastern people. You know, some people didn't speak a lot of English. A lot of Japanese people. My wife is Japanese, so she can tell Japanese when she hears it. And so we were a little concerned coming back. We thought, okay, here we went to L.A., and we didn't get it. And although we were careful, we weren't, you know, OCD careful. And some people are. And when this virus first hit, I was OCD careful, man. I wiped off everything, but I've kind of slouched off a little bit. I still wear masks and everything when they require it. And so we went to L.A., hung out, and flew in an airport. And I went to the casino, which is probably one step below going to Disneyland, which I understand is opening now, I think. Going to be interesting to see how that is. And a week later, I am COVID-free. Been 8 days now since I got back. I understand it's between 5 days is 90%. Is 5 days show up in 5 days. So either I've already had it, or I didn't get it, or maybe I wasn't exposed to it. So in any case, that pretty much concludes the show. And I'd like to thank you for listening today. This has been show 309 of your community station's Money Matters, your economic forum, entitled Market Disconnect. And boy, has it been disconnected. And I'll kind of sign off by saying where we go from here, nobody knows, right? So remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk depending on the types of investments. There may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. The views expressed are my opinions only. They may not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, the station, its staff members, or underwriters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for listening. Money. Get back.